The shiur tonight is dedicated to the L'ilui Nishmas, my father, Zichrono Livracha. My yahrzeit was today. I just came back from Har HaZeisim. I was there. I left yeshiva today at 2:10, and I came back at a minute to 6. Given the nature of traffic, both at Har HaZeisim and Yerushalayim, I'm going to talk about, the shiur is going to be divided into three segments, three parts. One is I'll speak about my father at a certain point in time, and I also am going to talk about someone I did talk about in the past, but I spoke about his son. I spoke about Hagoyim of Shmuel Auerbach several weeks ago, and someone came to me and said, how in heaven's name do you talk about the son without talking about the father? Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So I will speak about him as well. And then I'll say something on the parsha that also I think is relevant to all the above. I'll just begin by describing to you a little bit of my background. Probably many of you are not aware of it. Not that it's so chashev, it really isn't. I went to a yeshiva called Salanta. Some of you may have heard of SAR. It later became SAR, but in my days it was Salanta Yeshiva. It later became a hybrid of Salanta Akiva Rudel, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that's the proper official acronym, Rosh Tevos. But I went to it when it was Salanta, and I was Zochet. Even in Salanta Yeshiva, all the rabbeim I had were basically Europeans, every single one. With the exception of a woman who taught first grade, her name was Mrs. Nathanson. I don't know if she's still living. She was about 100 years old then. So maybe she had Arichas Yom Mishonim, I hope so. But she was the only woman who taught in that school, and the others were all Europeans, and they spoke in Yiddish. They were not exactly able to connect to cool Americans like myself. That is the probably most egregious, incorrect statement one could possibly say. But whatever the case is, so what did I see in front of me? European rabbeim, who some of them, a fair number of them, learned in Shanghai. They were Shanghai. They learned in the Mir Yeshiva. Some of them learned in Brisk. So this is what I was exposed to at a very young age, before my bar mitzvah, which was really quite a, I would say, even something which was nothing short of being fantastic. Now, I happened to connect with some of these people. There was my sixth grade Rebbe. His name was Rav Zalman Siegel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He learned Hakones. That's the last time I learned Hakones. And how did he learn Hakones? He opened up the Gemara of Baba Kama, Hakones sold a deer, and then he started singing about shepsels, about sheep. So all day, that's all we did, was sing. We sang about sheep. We sang Olam Haba is a good zach, learned the Torah is a better zach. Olam Haba is a good thing, and learning Torah is even better than that, better than Olam Haba. Most of the year we sang. I remember this Rebbe with unbelievable fondness. And then in the seventh grade, I had a Rebbe, I won't mention his name, short little fella, very short. And he was apparently, I imagine, had some frustrations in teaching the group of people that he had. And as a result, he was wont to call people, kumdo, he'd say to someone, come here, someone who acted inappropriately, and then he would jump up and get 1-2 smack. His hands were like fire. 1-2 smack. And there was another one who had actually a leather of 9 tails that he used. But once they used it one time, we obviously did not want these people to become a sharbuot. We were already on the case. And we were a bit quicker and a bit more nimble than these chaps and these fellows. But thank God it wasn't most of them, it was just 2 or 3. At that time, no one knew anything about the fact that they apparently subscribed to Gemara Makis, and the Pasuk in the Tanakh, you probably remember the Pasuk, Chesed Shivtei Seine B'nai. Someone who spares the child from the rod, he hates his son. I'm not a fan of this kind of behavior. I think it's Usr, Al-Pi HaTorah, Al-Pi Chazal. It's certainly not in our generation. I'm just telling you about my background so you have a sense of where I'm coming from. So these rabbeim were Europeans, but they had an impact on me. My 8th grade Rebbe, I didn't realize who he was. He was one of the Gdolei Ador. What was he teaching 8th grade in S, not the AIR, the Salanta Yeshiva? One of the Gdolei Ador. How did I know? I'm in Eretz Yisrael, and I go to Levaya, I see his name, I said, maybe that's the same one, my 8th grade Rebbe. Sure enough, it was. Who's masped him? Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz. The Rosh Hashiva, the Mir Yeshiva, is masped him. I said to myself, "Vase me, I don't believe it. He's my 8th grade Rebbe. And the Gadol HaDor is being masped him. I was shocked. I sensed that he was he actually was a good Baal Kareh, a good Baal Tefillah. We gave him a lot of tzaras, that's for sure. Not I. I just include myself in the royal we. I'm a very well-behaved fellow, except in the days that I was rebellious, which was every other day. But anyway, and I'm allowed to because I'm a middle child. I have middle child syndrome, and Jumaya. And I justified my behavior. Anyway, but this is what I had in my early years. After that, my father, Allah Hashem, wanted me to go to the Bronx High School of Science. I don't know if anyone's familiar with it. Relatively high-class kind of place. My mother, Allah Hashem, was frightened I wouldn't be frum. I wouldn't be an observant Jew. So there was a whole negotiations, and my mother wanted me to go to Neri Yisrael in Baltimore High School. Woo! Have Rahmanas on this gentleman. He means well. Anyway, and there was a compromise. And the compromise was MTA. She was University High School. So I ended up went to YU, and that was the start of my, whatever you want to call it, career. Not so illustrious, but whatever the case is, that was the start of my, in YU High School, and maybe, we have the Talmud Chacham without a chair is absolutely unconscionable. No. We have a lot of comedians over here, as you know. Anyway, so in Yeshiva University High School, I was introduced to a Rosh Yeshiva whose name perhaps some of you may know, probably most of you don't, Rav Yehuda Parnas. Shashem Yarech Yomav. I don't think I ever heard a Maggid Shir like that in my entire life. When I'm 13 years old, I wasn't enrolled in a Shia, but it did make a difference to me. I enrolled myself in whatever Shia I wanted to enroll in. That was the policy that I followed. Because it says in the Pasuk in Shoftim, Bayom Maim, Ein Melech Yisrael, Ish Kalei Hashav Einav Yaseh. So I started that at the age of 13. So I was enrolled in one Shia, and I went to another Shia. And then this continued until I heard about someone called Rabbi Soloveitchik. I heard about him when I was 14 or 15 years old. Maybe a sophomore or junior in high school. I said to myself, I should go to that shiur. And so I proceeded to enroll myself in that shiur. Of course, I was not registered there. Anyway, after 3 years, the menahal of the high school, of the Yeshiva University High School, called me in. He was a European fellow. And he said, Avisha David, you have been absent for 3 years. I said, true. Lamita Shoteya, we are going to throw you out of the yeshiva. You don't come. Why should we hold on to you? What do you say to that? I was busy enjoying Rabbi Parnas. A little bit after that, Rabbi Lichtenstein, a bit after that, Rabbi Soloveitchik. 3 years I was not there. So they sent home to my father, Zechen Lebracha, a message that your son is AWOL, absent without leave. And he's obviously a recalcitrant young man, clearly a truant case. He's a truant officer to take care of him. B'chulu, b'chulu, b'chulu. My father was a very tough person. There's no nonsense to my father. My father takes me back to the school. We meet the principal, Manil, and he tells my father that your son has not been seen for 3 years. So my father said to him, how come he never told me anything for the last 3 years? All of a sudden he wakes up 3 years later. I could have been who knows what. Down the river, or down the creek without a paddle. Anyway, so my father realized that the fellow was a, I don't want to tell you what my father called him, Shmagegi. That is not such a nice term, but it's a fairly mild term relative to what my father thought. And then I told my father, I'd be going to Rabbi Parnas this year, about Lechaz this year, my father thought it was half of a fella. Great, outstanding. Sure, but I enjoyed immensely. And that's what I did. Now, it's true, my sophomore year, I did enroll in Rabbi Dulitz Yeshiva. You may have heard that name. One of the most famous names ever to appear in Yeshiva University. And he taught the Shir, and I did go to his Shir. And his Shir went from 8:30 in the morning till 1:30. No intermission, no break. He was ruthless, murderous, terrorist, writ large. But you know something? I learned enormous amounts of Gemara from him. He didn't let us leave. You went to the washroom for more than 2 minutes, he came after you. What's with this fellow? I learned from him how to read a black Gemara. This is my sophomore year. And after that, I went to the shurim that I was supposed to go to, namely that I was not registered for, about Lichtenstein, means I sometimes disappear in my secular high school classes because there was no point to it. You understand that?
100%.
I came, took the exams, and then I disappeared again. I enjoyed the shiur more than I did the courses that were being taught. We had school on Sunday. My father said, of course you should have school on Sunday. Why should Sunday be off? But we had off on Friday. I don't know if they still have, MTA still has off on Friday?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. But then Sunday was school till 3:40. What is it today?
12:20.
12:20. So I did not subscribe to that entire policy. I go to the shiur. The shiur was very important to me. But in the afternoon, so where did I find myself? So my brother, Zechem Vivracha, who was an accountant for 50 years, had a box seat in Yankee Stadium, first base line. So every Sunday I went to the Yankees. At that time they were very much in the World Series, came out all the time. And so you see, I'm a sports fan as well. I remember going to Yankee Stadium with matzah sandwiches during Pesach. So then the question was, where am I going next? After high school. My father thought I should apply to Columbia, which I did. I was accepted on a scholarship to Columbia. My mother, Chas v'Sholom, you should go there. You won't be from, you won't be observant. So there was a back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And guess where the compromise was? Yeshiva University. So I went to YU, and I had a great experience at YU, I have to be very honest. Tremendous experience. I took a lot of courses I never would have taken, probably. Besides, there was a course given at 11 o'clock at night, organic chemistry. Very fascinating course. Those who have some connection with chemistry probably are familiar a little bit with it. And who wants to teach a course at 11 o'clock at night? Why was it 11 o'clock at night? Because I had a night seder. I have no time for this organic chemistry in the middle of the day. And so we went to the dean, seven of us, and we told him we have to have an organic chemistry course. When? He asked. Oh, 11 o'clock at night will do, after the night seder. He said, are you off your rocker? Are we off our rocker? Someone else is off his rocker. I didn't say that to him directly, but it was implicit. And he said to us, there's not going to be such a thing. We forced his hand, and sure enough, there's a course at 11 o'clock at night, organic chemistry. So the teacher who taught it was a woman. She did not like the fact she had to come in at 11 o'clock at night. She hated our guts, I'm just putting it politely. We called her, there's a pasuk in Mishpatim, Mechashefa Lot Chayet. We called her Mrs. Mechashefa. That was her name. Mechashefa is a excellent. You just defined it well. She made life miserable for us, and we decided. Bimido Shalomay, the money didn't low, we made life miserable for her. Isn't that we supposed to do that? What do you say? Tit for tat. I probably regret some of the things that were done then. Luckily, I don't remember too much. Suddenly, I have amnesia regarding those matters. But this was a good part of my life, and I'll tell you something further. At the age of 13, I went again to my father, Rosh Hashanah shortly. At the age of 13, I was very interested in Limud HaTorah. My father, Baruch Hashem, used to be makpid on Shnayim Mikra v'Chatanim. My father knew the entire Tagum Unkel HaSal HaTorah by heart. He spent probably 20 hours a week. Who would spend 20 to 30 hours learning Unkelus? Unless you are my father. I don't know anyone else who would do something like that. My father loved the Targum. And he loved to learn. He never went to yeshiva day in his life. My father's a Cooper Union graduate. You're familiar with Cooper Union? Physics and math, those were his areas. And he felt that that's what I should do. And go into a work for a living, either in physics or math or some science-related subject. I actually took courses in biology, and chemistry, and physics, and calculus. But I took other courses. Biblical Aramaic, Ugaritic. These are allied languages of Aramaic. I was interested in understanding Ramban al-Torah and the like. By the time I was graduating high school, I finished the entire Ramban al-Torah twice. I learned it in high school. Why? On Shabbos. I had a chavrusa. He's actually a Rosh Hashiva in the Mir Yeshiva in Brooklyn today. But I used to learn with him. All Friday night, all Shabbos, I was very into learning. It was very important to me. So at the age of 13, I used to stay at night time. And I would learn the chavrusa, and then I would go back on the train or the bus where I lived in the Bronx. Olam HaShalom, it's a borough in New York City that's actually it's now undergoing a renaissance. So apparently it's recovering. Anyway, there was a Rosh Hashiva nearby. The next table is to learn there also, the afternoons and at night. So I decided at 13 years old, what am I learning? Rav Chaim Brisker. I'm ready for Rav Chaim Brisker. I couldn't read a Pasuk in Chumash, but I'm ready for Rav Chaim Brisker. because I was exposed to the Rav and to others. So I start reading the Rambam that Rav Chaim comments on. I don't know what word he's talking about. I go over to this rabbi, his name is Avraham Kreiser, Zechzag de Bracha. I say to him, could you help me with this Rambam, with this Rav Chaim? So he gives me a look. I don't think I've ever seen a look like that. He gives me a look of horror. What in heaven's name are you doing? Basically, I thought it was the look he'd give me. And then he says, in Yiddish, come with me. Come with me. So he takes me to the Aron of Svarim, which is in the old Wayu Beis Medrash. And he's looking. He finds a sefer called Reishis Das. Reishis Das, when they teach young kids, it says on it, first they have the letters. With my grandchildren, I know about this. Aleph on page one, all Alephs, then Beis, and then Gimel. He says, read. So I said, what do you mean read? Read. And he turns to a page that says, Abba, God, he reads it. And he said, you read after me. Basically, he was trying to tell me where I'm holding. I got so angry at him. I'm trying to learn Rav Chaim Brisker, and this guy gives me agabo ha ha da da da. And he's got that smirk on his face. And I discovered later on he's an Adam Godel. Adam Godel, but I didn't know that. I thought he was just trying to make, what's the term? Make fun of me. I'm a 13-year-old boy. I'm learning Rav Chaim Brisker. What's with this guy? I didn't talk to him for a year. I used to sit next to him, and I would look at him like this. Give him all my faces. I'm telling you honestly. There's honest stories of my childhood. So I ended up going to Yeshiva University, and there I was, Baruch Hashem, exposed to Gdolei Ador, Rav Tzvi Dov Kanatapsky, Zechatzad Divracha, Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik, who used to walk the Rav in the middle of the night. The Rav would wake him up in the 40s at 3 o'clock in the morning to talk Torah with him. I wish I had such an opportunity, but I was not zochet to that. And then I was zochet to Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Tzatzal, and at the same time he used to go to Rav Soloveitchik Shurim. He arranged a Shurim that it shouldn't be conflict with his father-in-law. And I got also in contact with several other European Russian yeshiva. You don't know them. It was Rav Yochum Gurelik. It was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav, a Kanoi Muflog. Any Kanois I have comes from him. I have a fair amount, but I've chilled out a little bit over the years. I had no choice, I came to Torah Shvaga. Anyway, so and I had exposure to a few others. I would just finish this whole point. And I was zochet to see Gdolei Yisrael that had a massive influence on my life. Massive. Go ahead.
What was kind of way to mean in English?
Zealot. Perfect for Torah Shvaga. Zealotry. That's what we need here, you know. I'm just joking. Hope you got that. So now I graduated YU. And now I decided I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. I need a break. I go to Eretz Yisrael. There were two yeshivas that were around, Keren Yavne and Itri. Only two yeshivas. Oh, there was another one, BMT, right here. I used to come here once a week. Why? Best meal in town. I came here once a week to enjoy the best meal. I shouldn't say there was no food in Itri. There was. Chol until Tuesday, till you can no longer make Abdullah. And the rest of the week it was Itriot. Pasta, 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 and more pasta. Let them eat pasta, said Marie Antoinette. And so I came here once a week, BMT. But meanwhile, in Itri, I was there a year and a half. I learned four mesechtes. You know why? There was nothing else to do there. Nothing. Zero. There was a bus that came in the morning to Yerushalayim. Itri is in the area today. It's called Beit Tzrafa, but it's actually what's called Talpiot. Anyone ever been to Talpiot? It's the other side of Yerushalayim. And at nighttime. And so there was nothing to do except to sit and learn. So I covered four mesechtes. And I began to realize the beauty of learning Torah and saw the godless. There were a Rashi Yeshiva there. Wow. Like a galaxy of Rashi Yeshiva. I'm not joking. Gdolei Hador, there were 10 Gdolei Hador on that yeshiva. Gdolei Hador. So this is where I come from. My father, Vashalom, had tremendous derecherets for Rabbonim, for Gdolei Yisrael. My father worked in a firm called Timely Togs. I don't think it's any longer in existence. That firm was open on Shabbos. My father has a Kabbalah from my grandfather. God forbid to work on Shabbos. So my father never worked on Shabbos. So what did he do? He worked on Sunday instead. The only person in the entire firm of 200 employees who worked on Sunday instead of Shabbos. These people came after the Depression, as you can imagine. It was very difficult for them to withstand not working on Shabbos, which is understandable. But that's what my father had, this kind of Kabbalah. My father used to take us, and we used to go to do chesed, all kinds of chesed. We used to visit people who were in wheelchairs We went into neighborhoods in the Bronx that were, how shall I call them? Fort Apache. I don't know if you know what that is. Trust me, neighbors that you would not be found in. You would be found in with a phalanx of constables. That's the proper term for the police over there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they call them. Or even with the We Get Our Man, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police of the Toronto region. You would not be found there. We used to go there every Erev Shabbos to help people in wheelchairs, people who are bound in the beds, literally. And my father was very into chesed and felt it was very chashid. My father's davening. My father used to daven. The regular shachmas of my father took an hour and 15 minutes. They used to sing Birkat HaMazon in my house for 15 to 20 minutes straight. They'll ask my brother Shlita, he will confirm this without difficulty. And it was amazing that my father had this very strong, incredible inner kind of pressure to learn, to continue to learn. My mother was a very strong, passionate Zionist. She worked for Havala Mizrahi, you probably never heard of them, maybe you did. Organizations that build all kinds of Muslims here in Eretz Yisrael. And her dream was to come here, and they finally did come here in the 80s. And they were lucky to come here, and my father joined the Kollel. My father sat and learned at the Kollel from morning till night. Morning till night. And my mother was busy doing chesed, running to hospitals, and my mother passed away in the 90s, my father was younger. But they were an unusual, they were so glut in their, especially in terms of their interaction with other human beings, as far as monetary matters, they were so honest, scrupulously honest. My father and mother used to sit down every week. That time they used to send out envelopes for people to put in tzedakah to all these institutions. They would fill every single envelope. I used to go with my father on the train in New York City. And in Grand Central Station, you have all these, how should we call these characters who are lying on the ground? Correct? You know, in Hebrew, there's a word called Hey Vav Mem Lamed Yud Samach, otherwise known as homeless. It's a Hebrew word. My father would put in every single person's pocket some money. So I said, my father, what are you doing? These are homeless types. My father didn't know what I'm talking about. Just like you're supposed to visit sick who are non-Jews, if you have a connection with them, so too you give tzedakah to non-Jews as well. That's how my father felt. And so that's where I come from. And then, as I said, my parents came to Eretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, my children, I used to come to Eretz Yisrael often. I was in Toronto. I used to look for Shlichim, the Yeshivat Or Chaim that we have here, one of its star alumni.
Yod. Chashav Yid.
We have two star alumni.
Great.
So I came here, but my children never saw me. That's right. Very good. All right, move on.
It's me.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Not thinking. And so we used to have, I used to come to Eretz Yisrael once a year, sometimes twice a year to visit my parents and to hire Israeli shlichim for this yeshiva. And my children never saw their grandparents. So I had to get to Eretz Yisrael. My parents were getting older. And to Baruch Hashem, I came in 1994. And my children were zochet to see their grandparents for, my father for a period of 3 years, and my mother for many, many years after. And it really was a tremendous thing that we made Aliyah and Baruch Hashem and came to Eretz Yisrael. Now, when I came to Eretz Yisrael in 1971, 72, I've told the story before, but this will get me into Rav Shlomo Zalman Roybach, that after Yom Kippur, someone tried to convince me to make Aliyah. I had no interest at that point in time in making Aliyah, but someone tried to convince me. He said, ask one of the Dodi Yisrael. So they told me, who should I ask? I asked them, ask Rav Shlomo Zalman Roybach. So I went to his home in Mechabia. And I didn't know who he was. I didn't even know he was a great rabbi. Rabbi Auerbach. There are a lot of nice rabbis. And he was one of them. So I knock on his door. This is between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. And a man answers the door with a kind of white beard and looks, I guess, somewhat distinguished. And I ask him, Haim ze habayit shel Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach? Is this the house of Rav Shlomo Zalman? So he says, Abba ve'ima karu li Shlomo Zalman. With a big smile on his face. My father and mother called me Shlomo Zalman. I said, Avraham Zabayt Shel Harav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. I'm a little slow. Anyway, it was clear that it was. So he invites me in, and then I sit down. I told him I have a question. I asked Yom Tosheni. It was clear I have no pension, not making aliyah. I told him I should hold 2 days. Then I said to him, while I'm here, I have a lot of questions for the rabbi. So he said, fine, go right ahead. I was there for an hour and 20 minutes. And in the middle of it, about 45 minutes into it, I said to him, you know, I'm hungry. You got something to eat? So he looks at me and says, what do you like? I said, chocolate rugelach. I remember saying that. So without batting an eyelash, he says to me that his Rebbetzin was not there, she went out, and let me see if I can find it. So he goes into the kitchen to bring me chocolate ragalach. He finds it, chocolate ragalach. Gives me a plate of chocolate ragalach with a napkin. Well, in front of him, I make a bracha and eat it. He didn't eat a thing. I said, I told him, they're very good. They're not bad. Yossi Mordechai is having a heart condition. I don't blame him. I don't know if I'll ever get kapara for anything I did. About 20 minutes later, I said to him, you know, I'm thirsty. I told him, you have all these ragalach. He said, what do you like? Hot tea with lemon. What does he do? He goes into the kitchen, has this old chinik, this old, you know, the old tea kettles. I'm not joking. And he makes me a cup of tea, and then he tells me he's going to look for lemon. He doesn't know if he has any. Should he go out to the store and buy some lemon for me? So I said to myself, maybe yes, maybe no. I didn't realize who he was. I'm being honest with you. You don't believe me.
I believe
you. I'm telling you the honest truth. I was a young man. About your age. A little bit older. Slightly older. After college. You think I would have some seichel in my head?
Sure, the Rosh Hashanah did.
Not enough. Anyway, so he brings me lemon he finds in his house. Wow, what a cup of tea. It was gibaldic. I asked him for a second cup. Don't you worry about it. After an hour, 15, an hour, 20 minutes, I said to him, okay. I made a bracha achrona, and then I left. And before I left, I said to him, can I come back? He said, anytime you want. I said, could you give me a time when I should come back, when I know you're here, and I won't have to waste my time? Waste my time. The Galadar. Some more than a few screws are loose. Anyway, so he tells me exactly when to come back. And every week I came back for a year and a half. That was my introduction to Gdol Yisrael. I was astounded by him. And then after a little while, I don't realize, this guy knows, he really knows Kol HaTorah Kula. No joke. He's the real McCoy. Sha. Sha. I beg of you. And on my heart, and a few other things. Anyway, in the course of that year, I saw Gedolei Yisrael at work. I used to go and do the following. Once a week, I was in Panovich. I went to hear the Shir, Rabbi Shach. I heard the Shir call you, Rabbi Shach. Once a week, I went to hear Rab Nochem. Oh, Rab Nochem is a favorite person over here. Thank you, Rabbi Shira. Anyway, Rab Nochem from the Mir. Beautiful shiurim, which unfortunately I don't have a copy of this ever yet, but maybe eventually I might get it. Anyway, probably after the year's over, after we finish Baba Kama. Anyway, so I used to hear Rav Nochem and Yevamos. He said Yevamos once a week. Then I went to hear Rav Gusman, another Golo Batera. I went out all over the place. I went to hear Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook, the son of Rav Cook. I went to hear Nechama Leibowitz, Aleh HaShalom. She gave lectures on Chumash. I wanted to see what's going on here. I wanted to get a good sense. And on Motzei Shabbos, it's Radmo. Motzei Shabbos, I used to leave the Shiva at 12 o'clock, 12:30 at night, go to Rechol Baal Tanya in the Old City, and I learned the Sefer HaTanya the entire night, and in the morning, Dab Masikin, and then we had, shall we say, for breakfast, potatoes, hard-boiled eggs, and they had there more than a shtickel of chayim. They had vodka boy writ large. I'm not a drinker. I am a teetotaler. As I refrain from this kind of stuff, it's not for me. That's what I did in over a year and a half. I went through the entire Sefer HaTanya. This is what I did in my year in Eretz Yisrael. Now, my father, was out of contact with me. Why? No telephones, no cell phones. So I went to the post office on Erev Shabbos of Erev, actually, I went to Erev Rosh Hashanah first. They called my father and my mother, Aleh HaShalom. There was a line of 300 people. That time, he used to have slugs. You had to put into the telephone. You ever heard of this? Asibonim? You had to come with them. I'm joking. I came with probably 200 slugs that weighed a ton. It's like ballast on the ship. And there were 300 people in front of me. So I didn't know what to do. I should have waited. You probably said I should have waited. I waited 2 hours and then there was too much. I came to Erev Yom Kippur. There were 500 people there. Forget about it. The main post office in Rehov Yafo. I don't know if you know that area. Maybe you've been there. So I never spoke to my parents for a year and a half. Every week I wrote a letter. They wrote back a letter. I have actually, my brother asked me today about David Shlita. I have about 50 letters somewhere. I don't know where they are exactly, but I kept them. And so one day we'll be there. Hopefully I'll emerge with those letters. This was part of my experience at Eretz Yisrael, and a lot of it was to do with my parents, really, who are makir what the value of Torah is in the most unbelievable way. And I just want to mention a few more things about Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, if you don't mind. In the beginning of this pasuk, Vayakel, I have to connect it somehow. Vayakel Moshe is called Adas B'nai Yisrael, Vayomer Aleihem, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Harsinai with the beautiful matana he got from Hashem Yisbarach, namely the Luchos, and also the Shlosh Sevidos, and Shabbos, and the Mishkan, and Torah and Mitzvahs, and yet Moshe Rabbeinu has to gather Klal Yisrael. By themselves, they're not coming. Vayakel Moshe. And then a bit later, as you know, actually a bit earlier, Vayikoel Ha'om, Al Ara, also the language of Vayakel, that's in the Cheder Egel context. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach was the son of Rav Chaim Yehuda Leib Orbach, who was the Talmud of the Gdolei Ador, Rav Avissa Zalman Meltzer, who was a Shiva here in Yerushalayim, and he was Meshamer to Gdolei Ador, no question about it. And as you know, that the way to become a Gdolei Ador, and I hope Mitzvah Hashem from this classroom, will emerge some outstanding Talmid Chachamim, perhaps even Halavai, one the Gdolei Ador. Halavai, and I think it's possible. I don't think it's not impossible. I think it's not in the realm of possibility, but it comes through the following way. You might have a Zohar, like a test. But you probably know. It says, Shesei Mayim mi borecha, v'nozim mitok ve'erecha. First, you drink water from the well. You have to listen to Talmidei Chacham, Museo B'Shiurim, Museo B'Yisodos, and Kol HaTorah Kula. And then you become a Mayim HaMisgaber. You'll become a, translate Mayim HaMisgaber, a spring that is overflowing. And that's what happens. I remember that I saw in the biography of the Chazon Ish that when the Chazon Ish was, I think, 3 years old, he told his father he knows the entire Shas. He said, I know the whole Shas. So his father said to him, how's that possible? So he said, at that time, I know every letter of the alphabet. Aleph, Beis. So I know the entire Shas. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was a mechaber of so many Svarim, and many of them came out posthumously after his death, written by Talmidim or written by his family. Chidushi Torah, they were unbelievable. You know why he didn't publish more? He spent 3 hours every day with nudniks like me. Who came to nudnik him? Is that a verb? We'll make it into a verb. To nudnik him! And he felt that was more important than writing svarim for the world at large.
So that's why the Rashiva does it for all of us.
Okay, let's not engage in blasphemous behavior. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, I saw in the course of my year and a half that I was here that it's just amazing how his approach, I just want to give you one example that I happen to see in his svarim. I saw a number of times that I actually told him once or twice that in the Mishnah Berurah it says to do a certain thing. So he told me it's a mistake of the Mishnah Berurah. Once he told me that, and once he told me that the Metzias of the Mishnah Berurah is a different Metzias than we have today. It's not the same Metzias, not the same reality of the situation. Hashem Zalman Auerbach used to consult doctors, people, when it came to medical ethics issues and the like. With many, many doctors, I mentioned Professor Lev. Of Machon Lev, you heard of Machon Lev, right next door over here? So I knew Professor Lev, at the time of the Drucha, a going nadir and a genius in science and what have you. He founded Machon Lev. He used to be a Ben Bias in the house of Hashem Zalman Auerbach. And he was in Toronto as well. And in Toronto, you don't know Rafi Posner, Zechatzag Nibrocha, maybe you know that name. He lived in Toronto. He was a Shriach for 2 years of the Sochnut, of the Jewish Agency. And so he wrote on Targumim. He's a professor of Targumim. Anyway, so he's a son-in-law of Professor Lev, Zechatzag Nibrocha. Professor Lev he was also Ben Bais by Yaakov Kamenetsky, Ben Bais by Moshe Feinstein. He used to hang out with those in Gdol Yisrael in order to get the halachic position on many of the issues that he spoke about. So I remember that I once spoke to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he told me that Mishnah Berurah, of course, is one of the greatest of the Gdolei Yisrael and Paskim the Halacha. But at the end of the day, that there were things that he didn't have hesitation to argue even the Chazon Ish. He was always Chayshish with the Chazon Ish, but he even argued with the Chazon Ish. The most famous of the issues, of course, the issue of electricity, and he always mentioned the Chazon Ish with unbelievable yira, unbelievable kavod. The Chazon Ish held that electricity is an issue of bonin, closing the circuit, opening the circuit. Rav Shlomo Zalman did not agree with it. That's a very famous issue. It has a lot of halacha lemaaseh ramifications. He wrote a sefer called Me'ori Ha'esh. It was sent to the Chazon Ish. I think he wrote it when he was maybe 21, 22 years old. Very young man. But he investigated electricity before he did so very, very carefully. But I want to share with you the following, because he was always mechabed the psukim of the Chazon Ish, but he felt that chashmal, electricity, is not osim mishum boneh. But he was frightened because of his Yiras HaKovid, Chazon Ish, not to paskin against him. He always had to worry about the Chazon Ish because he was a giant beyond belief. If you know the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, I mean, some of you may be familiar with that Sefer. Mm-hmm. It's probably the classic Sefer on Shabbos that was written many, many years ago by Rav Neubrand, who was a Talmud Muvok of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He went over every single Seif the entire sefer was reviewed by Hashem Zalman Roybach, because they're all his psukim. His piski alocha. This I heard from Rav David Sol Shlita, Yibad L'chaim Arukim, and he heard that from Harav Noyman Zatzal, who's the author of the Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa, over every single sif. So now I want to tell you the following, which is relevant to you. I heard that Hashem Zalman, when he was a young man, he liked two masechtas, Shabbos and Baba Kama. As a young man, he learned Baba Kama, and I don't know how old he was. I think in his early 30s, he had already learned Baba Kama 60 times. Anyone hear what I just said? Shishimpa. He learned Baba Kama. Gemara Shin Tesis. And I imagine he learned it in a proper way. And how many times he chazed the Masechta. And so now I want to tell you the following psak. I heard this psak from Hagoyin of Zalman Chemi Goldberg, the son-in-law of Rav Shlomo Zalman Roybach. Shehashem Yitalo Arichas Yom Nishonim. A man in his probably late 80s today. He's a Goyin Adir, humble person. They call him Hagarzen, the axe. Why? Hagon, Gimel is Gon, Resh is Rav, Zayin is Zalman, Nun is Nechemya, Gimel is Goldberg. They call him Hagarzen. Hagarzen means the axe. There's nothing he doesn't know. You ask him anything, right away, out comes all, literally, Shiurim Hagavi Shiurim. So he said over the following. There was a situation once where they sold in the Makolet sugar and salt. And they sold them, they used to sell them in sakim. How do you say sakim in English?
Bags.
Bags, thank you. And I'm talking about these large bags they sold them in. And once the chemdin, he made a mistake. Instead of giving the woman from the sugar bag, he gave her from the bag of salt. And then she went ahead and cooked with, shall we say, a fair amount of what she thought was sugar, but in reality was salt. And obviously what she cooked afterwards was clearly not so royal achila. It cannot be eaten. It was cooked for a lot of people. So, what is the chen menichayah? So, often I would say, I should ask you, you're learning Baba Kama. For sure, but you'll ask, the chen menichayah for sure is chayav to pay the difference between the sugar and the salt. But the question was, is he also obligated to pay for all the food that was spoiled, that was ruined? That was a shayla of Shlomo Zalman.
She's a Zalman.
Is that a
grandma? 1 second.
She's
so
a
he paskin, 1 second, I just want to tell you how he paskin of Shlomo Zalman Oyebach. He said it's a clear sugya. Bor hamisgalgel. Pill a ploy. Who would have thought that this has anything to do with the price of tea in China? That's an expression. What is Bar HaMisgalgel? Everyone familiar with Bar HaMisgalgel, more or less? I mean, all the nizokin that were caused as a result of this? So, people thought that Rav Shlomo Zalman had essentially lost it. He didn't lose it. Everything he did, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, everything he learned was try to see where the halacha lemaisa might be. And that's why he was able to, his limud and shas, he saw in Shas so many different contraptions and machinery that only emerged later on, years later, he already had the yesod in all the masechtas that he learned to apply it to that machinery. Which is amazing. That was the greatness. He was one of the, by the way, the Dolei Ador in Yoni Zroyim in Eretz Yisrael. Into the Chazon Ish, I mean, anyone of his stature in Zroyim. I'm talking about, you know Zroyim? Shemitah, Meiser, Trumas, you ever heard of that? That's like a section of Mishnayis, very important section. And the fact of the matter is that he has a sefer called Madani Oretz. I heard the name of the stipler, the father of Chaim Kanievsky, Sheibad Chaim Arukim, that you cannot learn Zroyim without the sefer of Shlomo Zalman Oyebach, without Madani Oretz. And the fact of the matter is that Shlomo Zalman Oyebach was just, many people thought he was a Mako, and he was a Mako because he examined the sugyas very, very well, but he also had some chumras here and there, but I would say the most significant aspect of Rav Shlomo Zalman Oyebach, he never saw, he never saw here in this country, all these white placards that are plastered all over the place. You know what they call them? Pashkevilyas. You know Pashkevilyas? How do you translate that? Eich v'tag v'mimit zeh. Zeh lo mila sh'ata yachol lakir, lo mila ivrit, v'lo temanit, v'ani lo yodav zeh. Pashkevilyas are these, I'm not sure how to describe
propaganda.
It. Propaganda. Excellent, I like that the best. Habis Mordechai, ma tomer? Propaganda, all kinds of propaganda. He never signed once on any propaganda. They tried to schlep him into all kinds of things. He refused. I came to Levaya, Rav Shlomo Zalman Oyebach, Zatzal, when I came to Israel in 1994. The Levaya took place a few months after I came here. It was right here in Beit Vigash. There's a Shiva Kol Torah. Everyone ever came across Kol Torah? Massive, yeah, big Yeshiva. There's a Levaya here. I'm standing, I couldn't even get near. There were 300,000 people at the Levaya. I'm standing near a whole bunch of taxi drivers. From, what is it called, the taxi service over here?
Apiska.
They're all there. And it's clear they're not exactly Show me a Torah mitzvah, though, the biggest tzaddikim in the world. I said to one guy, the taxi driver next to me, what are you doing here? So he says to me, ishtakata? I was his personal driver. I spoke to about seven of them. Each one was his personal driver. I discovered he used to go into a car, into a taxi. It's what the other side. He took taxis. He was already feeble and very weak. He took taxis from the yeshiva back to his home. And each driver said they never saw anything like it. Shalom Aleichem. Conversations with them. People without kippot. People who were clearly not Shomer Torah Mitzvot. They never saw such a Kiddush Hashem like Rav Shlomo Zalman Weinberg. Ish HaShalom, what a man of peace. Mind-boggling. Yeah, you wanted to say something, Joey?
On a crock box, he was Machmir?
He was Machmir, that's correct. That's one of the chumras that... by the way, there are several chumras that probably you may not be aware of all then. That... have you ever been in the Rova of the Old City? I assume you've been there.
The Old Rova or the new one?
The Old Rova.
By the Cheder.
Yes, it's actually a very low-lying kind of area. Behind it is sort of a mountain over there. So do I have to begin Shabbos with Shkia, the way it appears when the mountain covers the Arachama, or Shkia without the mountain? One of the questions that Shlomo Zalman dealt with in the Halacha. I hear this from Rebbe Sol a number of times. So Yipaske L'chumra, you have to be Choshesh for the Shkia, Hanim'et, Shaham Mechasel, Yeni Shabbat. Okay, I just wanted to talk about that. That's a very fascinating issue. I just point out that there was a great Goyin who was a Rashiv in Grodno. There was a Yitzhak Hacker. Don't take that. He got so many jokes because of his name. Anyway, but that was his name, a Yitzhak Hacker. That's the only word in English that they know here because they're experts at that. Anyway, so the Rashiv in Grodno is a Yitzhak Hacker. So he said over when he gave a hesped for Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that once he wanted to go to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, at that time he was learning Masechet Beitzah. That was also one of his favorite Masechtas. Because it had to do with Shabbos and Mutzah and all that. And so he didn't want to be Mafriya Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, so he stood by the window and he was waiting to see when the Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach would stop learning. He waited 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 minutes. He saw, wow, this is an impossible situation. He didn't look up the entire time. He was focused on what he was learning completely. And he was Shukua B'dal Amma Shahalocha. And that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach actually was all about. And as I said, he was probably, to a large extent, I would say, he may have been the Gadol that got along with every single other Gadol B'Yisrael. He was just such a man of unbelievable peace and the like. And I have a lot of stories about him, but I'm not going to tell them. I wanted to say something on the parsha, which I think is relevant to him as well. I'll just mention one other story to precede this. When I came to Eretz Yisrael, I needed someone to talk to and learning, and someone to look up to. I needed Noel Yisrael to speak to. So I went around to a number of people, and they obviously were not going to connect with me for probably a good reason. I don't blame them. And then I finally got to Rav Nevinzol in the Old City. This is many years ago, probably almost close to 19 years ago. I go up in the winter time to his house, and I knock at the door, and they said, I have a question to ask him. And again, it's freezing, a freezing day, and I'm standing outside. I think I told the story once before. Anyway, so he tells me, what do you want? So I asked him a question, and he said, he answered. I said, can I ask more questions? Of course you can. Many as you want. He asked about a half hour. I'm dressed in a coat, sweater, jacket, everything. I'm, and he's in his shirt sleeves. So I can see he was shivering a little bit. So why didn't I have some consideration? So he says to me, oh, David, you can enter, come inside, and feel comfortable. Take off your jacket and your coat and whatever. So I said, no, don't tell Afriya Tarav. I don't want to bother the rabbi. Kilu, I'm not bothered. I don't tell Afriya Tarav. And so he said, okay. He says, Chakei Rega, wait a moment. He goes inside the house, I don't know what he went for. Comes back 5 minutes later, he put on his coat, his hat, his jacket, a sweater, with a big smile on his face. He's got a sense of humor, which is astounding. He was trying to tell me, why don't you come in already and take off all this haberdashery, etc. That's what he's trying to, and I did. And ever since then, I came on an ongoing basis. Ad kedekach, till his Rebbetzin passed away several years ago, he remarried recently, Baruch Hashem. I used to call him at all hours of the day and night. One day, I call him at 1 o'clock. He answered the phone, a.m. For me, it's not a problem. But I call him at 1 a.m. He answered the phone. Then I started to call him once at 4 o'clock a.m. I was up. Something bothered me. Should I call him? What should I do? So I call him. And then one day, I call him at 4 o'clock, and he doesn't answer the phone. His Rebbe said, I'll let Hashem answer the phone. So she says to me right away, Ha, David, I says, איך הרב ליטל יודעת מי זה? אני מכיר אותך. אני מכיר אותך, I know you. She says, יש לך שעון? You have a watch? So I said, לא, לא על ידי. It's out of my hand. It was next to me. It wasn't out of my hand. That's the kind of yachas you could have. I want to mention one last thing, if I can. There's a medrash, which I'm very fond of. A medrash at Yashir. And the medrash speaks about Rav Chanina. That once Rav Chanina, he was a very poor person. And he saw that people were going to Yerushalayim. And this Rav Chanina is the same one that the Gemara says in Brachas. He lived in a very sparse kind of way. You probably saw his Messias Hasharim and other Ochet Tzadikim. I don't know if Rav Chaim Volozhin quotes in Rav Shachaim. I'm not such a bucky in that sefer. You're a bigger bucky than I am. Anyway, he saw people going to Shalayim, bringing karbanos, olos, and shlomim. He also wanted to take part, but he was poor, literally totally impoverished and indigent beyond belief. What am I going to do? So he goes out and he finds a beautiful stone. He takes the stone, a heavy stone, starts chiseling it, polishes it, tries to make it very presentable. And then he says, Arayalai, la'alosa to Yerushalayim. I'm going to bring this stone to Yerushalayim. But he couldn't schlep this stone to Yerushalayim. So he decided, let me rent a higher parlin. But they told him, the parlin, it's going to cost you 100 gold dinar. He didn't have one gold dinar, let alone 100 gold dinar. So he says, what am I going to do? So they left. Miyad hevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chamisha malochim. These are Rabbi Roblaski stories. Miyad hevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's having an effect on me. Chamisha malochim b'dmush b'yadim. Hashem brings five angels in the guise of human beings. They say, give us five shloim, it's a very small amount, and we'll help you. And before you know it, he's in Yerushalayim. So this maisa is obviously a Musa Haskel, that we have to do whatever hishtadlus we can do, and the rest is siyata d'shmaya. This Gedolei Yisrael was zochet to siyata d'shmaya. It is amazing how clear their vision was, how clearly they saw things, how they were able to examine issues and somehow come to a proper maskana, a proper conclusion, based on their knowledge of Torah, and based on their insight, and based on their obviously emotional, intellectual acuity, which they had in great measure. And that's what I saw. But I saw it even from my father, Zichron Livracha. It was a simple balabas. Maybe some of your parents, I'm sure maybe all of them learned in yeshivas, maybe not. But I imagine a fair number of you, your parents learned in yeshivas. My father never learned yeshivas in his life, but he was kofuf, completely subordinate to Gedolei Yisrael. Whenever a rav would come in, right away we had to get up. If we didn't get up, my ears would be boxed from here to Chinatown. Not even happen me. Kavanat Torah. My father had such Kavanat Torah, such Deracheretz. Mind-boggling. My father used to clean the shuls. He used to come early, half hour. My father felt, how could you come late to shul? What do you mean, how could you come late? That's not a problem. At 5 years old, I'm going to shul, davening with Tzibur, and I had to stay exactly where I am. The only time I didn't stay where I am was in Brichas Garden, when I used to run away from my father. I was 3 or 4 years old, and he couldn't control me. Middle child syndrome, all that mentioned earlier. And I would go into the talisim of the Garden. Wow, these are weird people over there. Yeah, spooky types, all these spooky fellas. And I got to know what Brichas Garden was, and my father used to hold on, and I'll tell you one last story about my father. This is the most unbelievable of the stories. Seventh day, World Series. I think it was Yankees against Boston. I don't recall which year. It must have been the 50s. And the whole shul is now in Yom Kippur in the Avoda. That Avoda is a drag. Boring like heck. I was maybe 8 or 9 years old. I didn't learn Mishnayos and Yuma or the Gemara and Yuma. Since then, I learned it more than once or twice. But then I didn't do it. So it's boring. My father's holding us down, all the sons. Unbelievable. Me, all the shul's emptying out. Why? There's a bar about a half a block away, a massive screen. Guess what everyone's watching? The seventh game of the World Series. What's more important? It's clear. The seventh game of the World Series is Deicha, Old Yom Kippur. What's a shayla? That's like Rambam Megillah. Not really. So the president of the shul sees what's going on. And he gets all upset. He soon won't have a minion. 250 people down in the shul in Yom Kippur. No one is there. So the president of the shul decides, I got an idea. I'll go to the bar. I'll find out what's going on. And now, every 15 minutes, I'll announce what the score is, and we'll stop the Shirat Zibur, and we'll announce the score, we'll give a patch, and everything will be fine. So he gets the people to come back. He goes out, 15 minutes later he comes in, he gives a patch, this is like an intermission, he announces, Yankees 3, Boston 2! And then he says, hip hip, hooray! Hip hip! In the middle of the Avoda, Yom Kippur, all these days of the year, Kedush Kadoshim. My father saw that. He ran over to the Bima and smacked him across the face. I saw it myself. I almost haven't recovered from that. Well, you know what happened? There was a rhubarb that was, I thought it was gewaldig. I thought that's what we come to shul for, to have fights. And if we have fist fights, it's even better. Fisticuffs, what can be better than fisticuffs? But you know what I learned? Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur. So my father was successful. The last story I told it already 1,000 times. I said the last, some of you didn't hear it. This is the last story, Mamish. I was in a choir. My father had a good voice. He made a big mistake. I didn't have any voice. Your voice is 10,000 better than mine. I davened this morning, so Rabbi Shechter told me, wow, you gave me time to daven. I davened a bit slower, but I went to according to the schedule. And then I asked Rabbi Miller, I'm going to Rabbi Miller, I'm going to wait for him. He said, don't you dare wait for me. It's a tikkun tzibura. So I didn't wait for him, but I waited for Rabbi Shechter to go to Lador. I couldn't not do it. I couldn't. Anyway, so my father, I'm in the choir, I'm 8 years old. We're singing at Rosh Hashanah night on a balcony. And you know what the Chazan taught us? Here's what he taught us. And we sang, Yashchis. The words mean, we ask Hashem, have mercy, don't destroy us. So we said, destroy. This went on 20 times. And Nachabal, the same story. My father ran up the stairs over there. It was like these winding kind of stairs to get up the balcony. I thought we were doing great. I thought it was outstanding. I was 8 years old. I didn't have a clue what Hebrew means. I thought we were singing nicely, no? Don't think so? My father gave that chazan choir master what a smack across the face. So this is how it grew up. Ma tomer Daniel? Ze chinuch acher? Ve olam acher? So I'm not suggesting we use these kind of tactics, chas v'sholom. But my father was a Shem Shamayim. My father, when he davened, he was all dveikut, all connected to Hashem. That's what I grew up and that's what I saw. It's true, my father did not want us to go into the... All three brothers are here in Israel. One is a tzaddik yisrael elam, the one that some of you know. Malach Hashem Tzvokos. He's floating in the stratosphere somewhere. I don't know where. I'm basically probably beneath the ground somewhere. But he's up there, and I have another brother who's also a big tzaddik. He was a rabbi in a hospital, one of the biggest hospitals ever to sell. And Baruch Hashem, I have the great source of being here in Yeshiva Torah Shvan. And I, hopefully, and you are mezakimi, that's what my brother always tells me. My brother says, look at the payros that come out of Yeshiva. My brother's astounded by this Yeshiva. Astounded. And you know something? I'm also astounded by it. So Levi Hashem should give you a bracha to continue, le'ela, le'ela, higher and higher, the most upward trajectories imaginable. And you should all become outstanding B'nai Torah and Tamidei Chachamim and Yisrat Hashem. And Halavai, you should also live in Eretz Yisrael. I have to like that idea too. I'm very in terms of self. My father was also in terms of self. Say one last thing. I keep saying one last thing. And I keep going on. That's the problem with me. It was Rav Shem Lamshir. Anyway, so the on Yom HaAtzmaut, my father was so in such a state of hitrakshut because he saw the state of Israel as being the most wondrous act of Hashkocha in the last 100 years. And he said himself, without asking a rab, Chatzi Halel, without a bracha, after David, he was so mitragish. And my father also, there were other aspects of him that were, to some people today it's difficult, because my father had a certain kind of perspective, and that perspective, thank God, you don't have to go through, God forbid, no Jew should go through any Shoah, no anti-Semitism, not in England, nor in Belgium, nor in France, nor in Crown Heights, nor anywhere for that matter, unfortunately, we're surrounded by it, even here, unfortunately. Halavai, you should become the models, the lodestars, for Kiddush Shem Shamayim and Talmud Torah.